Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm Jonathan Friedman, and today we're at the Small Business Exposition, and we have our next guest is Mary Sheen. Mary has just published a book recently talking about presenting yourself in public speaking. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you.
You want to tell our listeners a little bit about your book and what the content and the topic is?
Sure. So the book is called Present Yourself in Public Speaking. Present is in quotes because it's meant to be a play on word, on the word present. Present.
Yeah.
And present meaning gift.
Oh, interesting. So not being present, but that's probably part of it too.
It's both. In fact, there's an entire chapter dedicated to presence. And what usually gets people's eyebrow raised is when I tell them the subtitle, which is tell your inner critic to shut up and the real you to speak up.
Oh, interesting. So a little play on the fact that we're all our own worst enemies.
Correct. We are. And we all have that inner critic. The inner critic shows up when you're outside your comfort zone the most.
So creating doubt and fear?
Correct. So imagine being in front of a room of people, and this is outside your comfort zone. Whatever your comfort level is now, imagine the next level when you're outside your comfort zone. And you're on stage, you're just about to speak. If we were to pause and freeze and look into your brain and listen to what your voices are saying in your head,
it's all negative, I take it.
It's many of it is negative. Oh my God, what are people going to think about me? Are there people in the audience who I think are going to think what I'm saying is BS? All sorts of negative things that come up. But if we're not aware that those little voices are coming up, then we cannot present ourselves in the most powerful way.
Oh, interesting. Now, is some of that dependent on who you are and what your personality is? Or is it across the board that even if people tend to have, I don't want to say narcissistic tendencies, but tend to be, confident, do they share the same traits? They just are able to quell those thoughts.
Great question. And here's what I say to that. This inner critic and the negative voices in your head, it's a human condition.
So
as long as you're human.
Evolutionary issue.
Correct. And I talk about that in the book, why we have that. Just to give you a high-level synopsis, why we have this negative voice in our head and how we feel the fear of social rejection is because it's part of a human need that we want to belong. We want to have love in our life. We want to have people like us because socially we want to be part of a tribe because that's evolutionarily, that's how we evolved, so that if you're a part of a tribe, there's a higher percentage, higher probability that you are going to survive, right? Mm. If you get sick, someone's going to be there to help you and you're not going to die. Someone's going to be there to get food for you, right? So subconsciously, we still have that. We still need that as human beings. We need family and friends and good friends in our lives that we can share secrets with, right? All of this. So subconsciously, we want to be accepted. When you're in front of a room, well, let me ask you, when you are in front of a room, does it feel like you're part of the tribe or does it feel like you're up there by yourself?
I think you tend to feel like you're on the outside looking
right.
In, right?
Look at all these eyes looking at me and I'm the only one up here, right? So it does feel like you're the only one and there's everyone in front of you ready to, here's the secret word that people don't like, judge you, right? Because as I mentioned to you earlier before the interview, people's number one fear is not actually public speaking, despite popular belief. It's public judgment.
Interesting.
And why is that?
So the act of public speaking brings out the public judgment.
Correct. Well, yes. Brings out the fear of public judgment, which unfortunately, as human beings, we can't help but do that.
Right.
Judge people by its cover and all of this. But it's the fear of social rejection.
Interesting. So I take it in your book, part of that is telling people how to reprogram themselves in essence or
yes.
To be able to recognize, it starts with recognition of those thoughts.
Yep.
And how to.
And you hit the nail on the head. Recognizing is step number one. You have to be able to recognize it as it's happening. And it's hard because it's very fast.
It's subtle. Yeah.
It's subtle and it's fast. And it's almost like if you don't practice doing that and being aware of those negative little voices in your head, it almost appears just like a feeling, like a truth. So let's say you're speaking from a room and the little voice says, oh my God, what you just said was so stupid. I can't believe you just said that. Instead of hearing that, you instead just jump to the feeling of feeling bad about yourself and you don't know why.
So it's almost like a innate reaction
yes.
that happens.
Right.
And along
right.
with, I would imagine there's a lot of physiological things that follow as well.
Correct, you know, and that's a good point.
Getting warm, perspiration, you know,
exactly.
shaking, all those types mm-hmm. of things that people tend to broadcast when they're public speaking.
Yes.
You know, you're saying identify those, tell them to shut up.
Right.
Carry on.
Right. And that's a good point because every thought that we have is going to manifest physiologically in our bodies. It's all connected, right? When you think
Absolutely.
About it, you can't really isolate, well, here are my emotions and here's my physical, right? Here's my mental. It's all connected. You're one person. You are the common denominator. So when you think something, whether it has a positive connotation or a negative connotation, your body's going to react to those thoughts. So the point is to catch those thoughts as they're happening, which is hard, but you get better at it with practice. You don't have to do it just on stage, even though it manifests most vibrantly when it's on stage. You're most aware of it when it's on stage, but you can practice this even outside of the stage.
Oh, interesting. So does your book highlight or walk through the recognizing the steps and then exercises to counteract it?
Mm-hmm.
So a how-to guide of sorts?
Absolutely. And I think that's why the book has become so popular is because people are not taught in school or even from their family or parents. I know my parents definitely didn't teach me how to handle my inner critic. So the book walks you through that in very simple ways, and it's much more simpler than you think. The catch is, though, you have to practice it, right? It's not
like
just
anything.
Knowing it. Yeah,
like
it's
anything.
Not just knowing it. It's the skill of practicing it. Mm. So I'll give you an example. If your little voice said something negative to you, what would you, and you were able to catch it, what would you say in response to that if it was your best friend coming to you saying that? So let's say you were on stage and your little voice said to you, oh my God, you're just not qualified to talk about this topic. What have you been doing up here? There's people in the audience that's more expertise, more of an expert at this topic than you are. Imagine your best friend said that to you. I'm about to present on stage and these people in the audience are more of an expert than I am. What am I going to do?
Probably
so what
not
would
your
you
best
say?
Friend for long.
Right. Well, imagine they were saying that and asking you for advice.
Right.
You'd say, calm down.
Right. Calm down.
You
You're
know
just
more.
Fine. You're a lot better than you think you are.
Exactly. Right. You're a lot better than you think you are. And just get
You're
those first words
asked
out.
You to be
exactly.
Here.
Right. And once you start talking and your voice comes out, it's going to be fine. Just calm down. Don't freak out. Right. So imagine you were able to respond to yourself in that way live.
Right, be very powerful.
How different would your experience be?
Yeah, right away you'd frame yourself and be, you know, turn off that little voice, as you
Exactly.
Say.
So that's an example of a process that I talk about in my book that people can use.
So I'm looking at the book in front of me, and it's really a wonderful looking cover, very straightforward, as you said,
Thank
the
you.
Subtitle. I'm curious, it doesn't look like you wrote it overnight. It must have taken you some time to put all the thoughts together and write the book. What was the process like? Is it your first book?
This is my first solo book. I had co-written a book before with Jim Britt about conscious communication. And that's actually what gave me the confidence to write my own solo book. Because even though I'm aware of the inner critic, it doesn't mean I'm exempt from it. When I'm outside my own comfort zone, you better believe those inner critic voices come up. And so as an example, writing the book, same voices came up. And what did I do? I followed the same processes that I teach.
That's wonderful. Because
if I'm not walking my own walk... Right. Then I have no credibility teaching it, right?
No, it's fabulous. So it's a classic example of what we tend to do is the cobbler's son wearing our shoes. But you took that challenge and brought it to print.
Right, and in fact, I was in a group of other first-time authors as a community, and I was recording all of my little voices that were coming up as I was writing this book. To answer your question, it took me from April. I started writing in April 2016. It was published by December.
That's pretty impressive.
And that's what most people's reaction is when I tell them that. However, it was because I kept writing down those little voices and writing down the equivalent of what my best friend would say to me that got me to complete the book.
Fabulous. So you really, that inspired you, drove you, and probably lessened the amount of time that you spent worrying about it and
Correct.
Focused on the output.
Correct. And here's what most people get tripped up on is even though we all have the inner critic, it stops them from taking action. Or they take the action because they feel motivated that day, and then it quits them on the path while they're on the path of doing whatever it is they're trying to achieve. And that's what I'm hoping that this book is going to help people not do, is not quit. The other part I think is important to point out too, it's not purely about the mindset of public speaking. One particular chapter that I talk about the process of public speaking.
Yes.
Because many people have the misconception throughout my teaching career that it's something you're born with or it's not. Or it's something that some people are just
hardwired
naturally hardwired, yeah. And it's not true at all. It's a process. It's a skill.
So it can
just
be
like
a learned skill, like
anything else.
Right. Interesting. So it would seem to me that this, although the title is public speaking, it's really applicable in any environment. And you know, whether you're speaking or to a group in a company in a meeting, whether you have to present to your peers or your boss, whether you're a student in school. I mean, it'd really be applicable in any of those situations, I would think.
Yes, and that's a very good observation because I've heard the question asked, well, when is it considered public speaking? Is it a group of four? Is it a group of five? Is it a group of 20? In my opinion, as long as you're speaking to two or more people, that's public speaking.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. And I would also say, and just my observation from my own experience, is it depends on the familiarity of the group. So if I'm at a board meeting, which I happen to attend from time to time, and I'm familiar with the seven participants in the board meeting, I'm more apt to speak. If I'm familiar with three of them and I don't know four of them, I'm probably more apt to think, boy, that's a stupid thought. I'm not going to share that publicly.
Right.
So it's interesting. It's really familiarity, I think, also drives that need to say, well, maybe I should reserve my comments.
Right, right. And that's a good point you brought up, because it's a trust with the audience. But it's the feeling safe enough to mm-hmm. share what you need to share that you feel is beneficial. So another part of my book actually ties into what you're saying is what I call limiting self-beliefs. So if we have limiting self-beliefs, such as, oh, I really shouldn't share that story, maybe it's a little bit too personal. And I mean, you make a judgment call. You're not going to be showing up to a job interview and then revealing, you know, the deepest, darkest secrets. That doesn't make sense. So you make
depends
a judgment call.
Depends what kind of call. Job you're interviewing for,
right.
<but.
laughs> Right. But the whole point is to be yourself.
Yes.
Right? To be yourself and then be relaxed enough so that the true brilliance of you and your true personality, which I know is awesome, because when you're around friends that you trust and your best friend, you're going to act
your
a different
personality
way.
Personality comes out.
Yeah, your personality comes out. Right. And a lot of my clients, for example, are brilliant experts at what they do, very intelligent people. But the problem is when they're in front of a room, they don't represent themselves the brilliance that they are, because of all these inhibitors that are in the way, such as the little voices and the negative self-beliefs that are there.
So tell us a little bit, you talk about your clients. What's your interaction with clients? Are you coaching them in terms of how to project their inner selves and guide them in terms of their particular speaking in public? Is that really where the focus is?
The way I transmit the information and transmit my teachings is through groups as well as one-on-one. So I do one-on-one private coaching with clients, as well as speaking professionally in front of groups, as well as training. And that's my background. It might be worth mentioning that once upon a time, I used to be a computer programmer, very self-conscious, very introverted, very self-conscious about what others think of me, and therefore reflecting, feeling bad about myself. And that's where I came from, and I've conquered that and gotten over it through these processes that I developed for myself, because nobody else was teaching this stuff.
That's wonderful. So, to quote the old, I'm not going to mention the company, but the hair care company that said, I'm not only a client, but I'm not only the president, but a user as well.
Yes.
And so you've taken this was the motivation for you, is to break out of your comfort zone. And attack your fears and be able to be more confident in public.
Right. And frankly, to be honest with you, I got sick of repeating myself over and over. People were saying, well, you were so self-conscious and now you're obviously comfortable in front of a room. What did you do, Mary? What else did you do? And instead of just sitting there and go, how much time do you have? Let me just explain it all to you. Now I just go read this book, please.
Go read the book. Take it for the masses.
Yeah.
So Mary, tell our listeners where to find your book. I know I see right on the cover it's available on Amazon.
Yep. It's an Amazon. It reached Amazon bestseller status within 2 weeks of launching the book. So I know it's resonating with a lot of people. So Amazon is the place to go to find the book. You can also go to my website, which is www.magneticpodium.com. And again, the title of the book is Present Yourself in Public Speaking, Tell Your Inner Critic to Shut Up, and The Real You to Speak Up. You can also search my name, which is Mary, last name C-H-E-Y-N-E.
Wonderful. Wonderful information, Mary. And it sounds like you're off to a great start with the publication of the book. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And really exciting stuff, really practical information for anybody that whose inner voice is loud.
Yes. And if I could just leave one message before I go is, if you have an inner critic and you're aware as you're listening to this that, oh yeah, I have this negative voice in my head, just know that you're not the only one. And there's nothing wrong with you, so long as you have the processes to deal with it and conquer it, you're good to go.
Wonderful. Well, my guest on Radio Entrepreneurs has been Mary Sheen, who's just self-authored or has authored a book, and wonderful information. Reminding our listeners, it's available on Amazon. Present yourself in public speaking. Tell your inner critic to shut up and the real you to speak up. Mary Sheen, thank you for coming on Radio Entrepreneurs.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll be right back with another segment on Radio Entrepreneurs.